Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. And today we're continuing with this powerful series called The Jesus Model. In this series, Rick will walk you step by step through the process of true biblical discipleship. Rick's giving you practical tools to grow spiritually, experience God's peace, live with greater purpose, and become more like Jesus in every area of your life. So let's join Rick right now for the final part of a message called Succeeding in Your Mission.
Now there's a seventh principle, and this is a really important one. In your ministry, in your mission, whether it's local, global, or personal, this is the principle of accommodation. And the principle of accommodation is adapt to local tastes. Adapt to local tastes. Now, this is the seventh thing that Jesus gives us his instructions to his peace teams when he's sending them out. He says, eat and drink whatever they give you. Oh, no. And when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Now again, what did it mean then? What's the timeless principle and what does it mean now? When Jesus talks about this, he's talking about far more than just dietary rules. Now it's included that, but it's more than that. There's a principle that's deeper than that. You know, in 1974, I moved to Nagasaki, Japan, where I taught English as a mission project. Taught English in a church in Nagasaki, Japan, as a short-term mission project. And when I got to Japan, I'd never eaten Japanese food, and the first time I ate it, I did not like it. Seaweed and raw and a lot of other stuff. Now, I did not like it, but I loved the Japanese, so I ate what was set before me. Not because I loved the food, because I loved the people. And you know what? As I began to eat it, I learned to like it. It's now one of my favorite foods. Anybody want to go get some sushi? Okay. I mean, I love Japanese food now. But I loved the people, so I ate what was set before me. What did I do? I adapted to local taste. Now, since then, I've been all around the world. I don't want to tell you the stuff I've eaten, because I don't want you losing your dinner here or lunch. But, whether it's Vegemite in Australia or boiled turtles in China and a few other things. Now, by the way, let me give you a little secret. It doesn't say eat at all. Okay, so here's what you do. Never eat it all. Because if you do, they think, oh, he likes it. We'll give you another plate full. And you could barely get the first platter filled. So what you do is you eat a little, drink a lot of water, and mess it around your plate. But you never clean your plate of something you don't like. Get it? Good. Because if you clean your plate, they're going to fill it up again. All right, so don't do that. Here's the point. Love adapts. Now let's just bring it down to home. You don't have to cross the ocean to do peace. You just cross the street. Because in your neighborhood, you might need to eat menudo or kimchi or a thousand other different kinds of great flavors that we now have in Orange County. The world has come to us. We speak 63 languages in this church. So we're all in the same family of God. And we need to adapt to each other. And we need to support and we need to love each other. And so, point here is that Americans don't understand how it's important it is to share food with people. You know, here, we're not as serious about food in America. We eat it pretty casually. You want to go get some lunch? You want to go do this? Go do that. But for sharing, for the poor and poor people, sharing your food is sharing your life. And when they put out a table, sometimes it's all they've got. And it's everything they've got. And they are giving you their life. And what eating with people brings you closer to them. It's relaxing, and it is the fastest way to build a bridge, is eating with somebody. The fastest way. In fact, let me tell you about my taxicab food ministry. Have I ever told you about this? Whenever Steve and I, or David and I, whenever we're in a town, we get in a taxi, and inevitably the taxi driver is not from America. And so my standard question is, where are you from? I'm from Ethiopia. And then my next question is always, where's the best Ethiopian food in Washington, D.C.? Well, it's over here, and it's always a little hole-in-the-wall place. I said, look, take us there, and we will buy you lunch. And we do that. And then we get in another taxi and say, where are you from? Pakistan. Where's the best Pakistani restaurant in New York City? Well, it's right here. Over here. Oh, take us there. We'll buy you lunch. We get in another place. Where are you from? Bolivia. Where's the best Bolivian food in Denver? Well, I can tell you where it is. Well, take us there. We'll buy you lunch. I have taxi drivers who are best friends in every major city in the world. And I could call them up, and in the middle of the night, they'd come pick up Rick, because we're friends. We're like this, okay? I don't know all of the top brass in the town, but I know the taxi cab drivers. And I have built the bridge of love with so many dear friends from all around the world, just by saying, let me take you out to dinner. You choose the place. And when you break bread with people, you are building that bridge of love that Jesus can walk across. Now, when he says adapt to local taste, eat what's set before you, there's a larger principle here. Here's what Paul says. I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. He says, you know, I just adapt to people. I entered their world and I tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. He says, my whole reason for this is I'm on a mission for God. Here's another verse of Paul. I try to accommodate everybody in everything. That's the principle of accommodation. Not looking for my own advantage, but for the advantage of everybody else so that they may be saved. Question. Who do you need to be a little bit more accommodating to in order to build a bridge of love so Jesus Christ can walk across? Is there somebody in your office who looks a little different, talks a little different, acts a little different, smells a little different? Who do you need to be a little bit more accommodating to in order to show the love of God so you can build that bridge of love? That's accommodation. Number eight, the eighth principle Jesus gives to his peace teams is the principle of alleviation, pain alleviation. And here's the point. Begin where they hurt. You don't begin with your agenda. You begin with their hurt. The hurt of the person you're trying to reach for Christ, the hurt of the person you're trying to help, the hurt of the person you're trying to show the love of God. You don't begin with what you want to do, what you need to do, what you'd like to do, what you think would be best for that village or that team or that location or that office or whatever. You do what's best for them. What do they need based on their hurt? Jesus said this, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Now, what's he talking about? Heal the sick. Well, friends, there's all kinds of sickness. And the truth is, everybody's hurting. Everybody has hidden wounds. Everybody has certain sicknesses, certain sins, certain insecurities, certain fears. Everybody has been hurt by the past. And everybody needs healing in different ways. And he's saying, find that hurt and heal it. Find that need and fill it. Find that problem and solve it. He's saying start with their agenda, not your agenda. The silent hurts, the silent fears. Just look around. And you never know when you'll say something that'll be healing to somebody else. Sometimes you'll say something and it just brings healing to their life because they needed that insight. Oh, that's what I need to do. I need to let go of that. I need to refocus, whatever. Now, you know people in your life. I want you to think of somebody in your life you think that person will never accept Christ. Okay? Everybody get somebody like that in mind. That person will never, in a million years, accept Christ. You're wrong. Anybody can be won to Christ if you find the key to their heart. And what is the key to their heart that unlocks the door? It's always a hurt, a need, or an interest. A hurt, a need, or an interest. And when you start with where they're hurting, where they need healing, where they need a blessing from you, an encouragement from you, you start with that, it opens up the doors. The Bible tells us that Jesus went into every village doing three things: preaching, teaching, and healing. Now, you're not going to heal people like Jesus did, but he did preaching and teaching and healing. Now, that meant one-third of his ministry involved the soul, preaching, one-third of his ministry involved enlightening the mind, teaching, and one-third of his ministry involved caring for the body, healing. Jesus didn't just care about salvation, he cared about education, and he cared about health care. It is not by accident. You go into any country in the world, and the first school, almost always, the first school ever started in that country, and the first hospital started in that country, were started by Christian missionaries. That's almost every country in the world. Why? Because that's our faith. Our faith cares about the mind, the body, and the spirit. Our faith cares about salvation, education, and health. It always, why? Jesus is a healer, and Jesus is a teacher, and Jesus is a savior. And so it's the whole person that we care about. And that's why in the peace plan, we promote reconciliation for those who are hurting because of conflict. And we train servant leaders for those who are being hurt by oppression and corruption. And we assist the poor for those who are being hurt by poverty. And we care for the sick, for those who have been hurt by disease. And we educate the next generation for those who are being hurt by ignorance. Why? Jesus said, heal them. Go and tell them, this is the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's not just about getting to heaven. It's about living life to the fullest here on earth too. And relieving the suffering of people around us. So we go to these churches, and we go directly to church. We work church to church, because it is the church that's going to last long after we're gone. And they tell us what to do. We don't tell them. We say, what's hurting in your city? What's hurting in your village? What's hurting in your town? There's one last principle. Number 9 is the principle of mobilization. And Jesus wants you to do this too, and it's to pray others will join us. Pray that others will join us in this mission for God. God says, I want the whole world to know that I love them. I want the whole world to hear the healing message of salvation. I want the whole world to know that I care. And the Bible says this, these were his, Jesus' instructions to the 31 teams that he sent out. The harvest is so great. He said, look around the world. So many people need God. But the workers are so few. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers for his field. You know, when I drive up and down the freeways of Southern California, I often look around at all the people and I think, Lord, how do I get them to slow down long enough for me to tell them the good news? Because they're moving so fast, they're not listening. And the good news is only good news if it gets there in time. You got to learn to have eyes like Jesus and see all around you people in need of hope, purpose, forgiveness, love, meaning, salvation, in need of healing, of physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, relational healing, all these different things. Now, if you want God's blessing on your life, here's how you get it. Care about what God cares about. If you have the same heart that God has, God says, I found somebody after my own heart. I'm going to bless them, bless their socks off, because they care about what I care about. Now, what does God care about most? I'll tell you what he cares about most. What matters most to God is the death of his son, Jesus Christ. He gave his son, Jesus, to die for us on the cross, the greatest possible sacrifice. And the second greatest thing is that that news gets spread to all around the world, because God wants his lost children found. He wants everybody to know him. He wants everybody to love him the way he loves them. He wants everybody to live the kind of life that he intended for them to live. And so what do? We pray that other people will catch the vision, catch the heart of God, to begin to care not just about themselves, but to care about everybody, to care about the people around us that we live by, we work with, we drive by, we go to the movies with and see all around us. Now, God wants to use you, and I am offering you the adventure of a lifetime. Nothing comes close to the adventure of being used by God. Nothing comes close to the adventure of being on mission for God. Nothing comes close to knowing that your life is making a difference, not for 5 years or 10 years, but for eternity, and that there will be people in heaven who will be thanking you forever, going, "Thank you, because you cared enough to be on mission in your neighborhood, in your office, in Southern California, in America, and around the world." The Bible says this, look on the screen. If you insist on saving your life, you will lose it. Only, this is Jesus talking, only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news, that's what we're talking about, will ever know what it means to really live. Until you get on mission for God, you're not living, friend. You're just existing, because you were made for a mission. Let's bow our heads. I want to challenge you to commit yourself to a lifestyle of peace. Say, "God, I want to do this wherever you want to use me. I want to get a partner. I want to depend on you. I want to keep it simple. I want to stay focused on my purpose. I want you to use me to bless other people with a look, a word, and a touch. I want to build relationships of love so you can walk across that bridge. I want to be willing to adapt to things that aren't particularly comfortable for me for the benefit of others. I want to begin where other people are hurting. And I want to commit to praying that other people will join the army of compassion. I commit to practicing these principles wherever I am." If you'd say that, I want you to just in your heart say, "Dear Jesus, I'm in. I'm in. I'm signing up. I'm saying I'm in. I want you to use my life for good and for God and for your glory. In your name I pray. Amen."
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. I've got something really special to share with you today, especially if you love Christmas and God's Word. We've got a brand new set of 52 beautifully designed scripture cards, each featuring a Bible verse centered on the Christmas story and the promise of hope found in the birth of Jesus, the true meaning of the season. And these cards aren't just pretty, although trust me, they're stunning. These are powerful tools to help you memorize God's Word and keep it close so that you've got it right when you need it. And while these cards are perfect for your personal study, they're also wonderfully versatile, and they can help keep Jesus at the center of your holiday. You could use them as meaningful gift tags on your Christmas presents. Place one at each setting on your holiday table, or share them individually with friends as a thoughtful gesture. So, whether you're starting a new tradition or looking for a unique way to share the gospel with friends and family, well, these cards are a perfect fit. And trust me, you're going to love them. Today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people worldwide, be sure to request this very special collection of Christmas scripture cards. That's our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you could just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.